You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550.
Tee to Green is being presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Tantera Golf Club, Briarwood Country Club, and Lancaster Country Club.
A hole in one, not big.
Now it's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mattis.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's another edition of Tee to Green here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Hope you're having a great start to your weekend. I'm Brian Cozio, along with Kevin Sylvester and PGA Pro Jeff Mattis. It was supposed to be Masters Week, and we'd be getting ready to talk about round three going into the weekend. We will talk Masters here coming up, though, of course, over the course of the hour of the show. We do have, I guess we'd say, good positive news. There's some rescheduling going on that's occurred over the past few days, so we'll pass that along. News on some of the new majors, of course, news on the Masters, too, about where that's coming. Also, we'll have coming up in just a little bit, Kevin Sylvester sitting down with Ryan Armour, PGA Tour player. That interview coming up in our second segment. We'll also get our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week. If we were watching Augusta this week, you know that the greens would be fast. Jeff's going to give us his tip on how to putt on fast greens. We'll get our Champions Tour report, Ryder Cup report, PGA Tour leaderboard. Talk about some of the storylines that we would be talking about this week here with the Masters. As we welcome in Kevin and Jeff. Kevin, good morning. Another week that was, but we know it wasn't all bad news this week, which is good for us to report. The golf world seems to be maybe trying to figure out how they can have some sort of semblance of a season here, as we found out that, including the Masters, they maybe have some dates in mind of when this event may occur.
Well, Brian, I think it's important for, you know, all of us, golf fans, golfers, those who cover the sport, to have a plan, right? I mean, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail, essentially. So, you know, what the PGA Tour's done, what the PGA of America's done, USGA's done, the folks at Augusta National, and frankly, even the Royal and Ancient, right? I mean, by canceling the Open Championship, they've made a plan going forward. They're planning for things to get back to normal sooner rather than later. If they don't, well, then plans will change, and then things will be canceled. Right now, they're shifting things because it's what they can do. And if they have to cancel things, then they'll cancel things. But right now, let's be positive about this. Let's be positive with hospitalization numbers seemingly going down, death seemingly going down, people responding to treatment. These are all positive things. People are staying home or flattening the curve, to use the term. Medical. So with that in mind, professional golf is planning. Now, there's a lot of things that go with that, Jeff, as far as getting guys back into the country, making sure they're healthy. I mean, there's so many things that go into it, but at least we have a plan right now.
It's nice to see a schedule for the guys. You know what I mean? At least, like you said, you can start to, you know, at the beginning of the year as a golfer, you kind of always you plan what events you're going to play in. Kevin, you've got those 11 or 12 invitationals you play in every year, so you mark those off on your calendar. And
11 or 12? I thought it was about 20.
Yeah. Most people, you know, they got a few big events. They got their club championship or the club professionals. We have our majors and some events we like to play. So now the players can start pointing towards something. Whether it ends up happening is another thing, but you know, I think I'm starting to feel a little more optimistic. I know we still got a long way to get out of the woods here, but you feel like you're getting near the peak of this maybe, and we got another month or so, and then maybe we can start creeping back to normality and getting out and playing golf. I know you can play golf now, which is pretty cool, and hopefully this weather will help us. It is weird missing the Masters. Brian, you said you got to watch the 86 Masters for the first time, and that was one of the biggest turning points in my golf career. I got to watch that, and watching all these old things on TV has been fun. But I'm ready to watch some real golf. The cool thing you said during our podcast too was the Masters will be back to back majors this year. So if they have one in November and then they have it in the spring, that'd be kind of cool. So it's a little different, but it's still gonna be really, really cool.
Absolutely, yeah. So the schedule, as we sit here, normally the first full week in May. With the Masters has been rescheduled for mid-November, from November 12th to the 15th, and it'll actually be the last of this year's majors played. The PGA Championship has announced that they're going to move from what was going to be mid-May to August, August 6th through the 9th. They'll stay out at Harding Park in San Francisco. The U.S. Open, which is normally Father's Day weekend, will now be mid-September, from the 17th through the 20th. Other PGA Tour events they're planning on getting in there as well, including the FedEx Cup playoffs, Kevin, that they're hoping to get in its normal time slot. So the fact that we might have three majors, the FedEx Cup playoffs and the Ryder Cup, all in a span of about 3 months, if it does all happen, if you're a golf nut, boy, you're going to have it all at one time.
Well, I tell you what, the schedule, not even just those, but let's say we get back to playing in June. All right, middle of June, they may shift an event to where the U.S. Open was. July, you have the Open Championship, so there's another event that can go in there. I think about tournaments like the John Deere Classic and the field that will be there, right? I mean, it might be the best field they ever have. Matter of fact, Kevin Kisner tweeted that. Someone said, hey, maybe you'll play the John Deere this year. He goes, I'll guarantee it'll be the best field you ever have. Same can be said maybe for the Wyndham Championship. There is a Wyndham Rewards. They pay the top 10 in FedEx Cup points. The number one leader gets $2 million. Well, players will be maybe shifting to get into there, that top 10, because of lost tournaments and potential lost income. So I would expect the Wyndham Championship to have a great field in Greensboro. And then you think about the schedule. You go FedEx Cup, the Tour Championship will be the first week of September. Then you go to the U.S. Open. Then you have the Ryder Cup. Wow, right? For September. We have the start of NFL. September is going to be an amazing sports month. It already is, but it's going to be even better when you have the Tour Championship, U.S. Open, and the Ryder Cup all in that month. That's incredible.
Absolutely. Jeff, before I get you a couple of thoughts here on this tournament here, let's talk about this revamped PGA Tour schedule. We'll make it our check of the PGA Tour leaderboard, since we don't have a leaderboard to check. It's brought to you by Callaway Chrome Soft. This ball is different, and also by Puma Golf Shoes. And yes, you mentioned I watched on Wednesday, ESPN replayed Jack Nicklaus's magical final round from the 86 Masters, in which he won, and we'll make that our Champions Tour report, brought to you by Donald Ross Clothing right here on Tee to Green. Jeff, I never got to see that event. Had no idea that Nicklaus came back so much from an incredible group of golfers that were in front of him. Ballesteros was winning for the majority of the back nine. Kite was in there. Greg Norman was in there. And, you know, I always saw the highlight of him on 17, the Vern Lundquist. Yes, sir, that putt. And I thought, like, oh, that's what won it for him. But watching it for the first time play out, realizing that Ballesteros was still winning at that point, and then put one in the water on the par five, and then Norman had a putt to tie him on 18. I mean, all these extra storylines, it was really, really fun to watch. And, boy, that could have played out so many ways.
Yeah, it was a moment for me that I'll never forget in my life. You know, you think of all the golf tournaments. I've been to the Masters a few times, and I, as a young man, I was 18 years old. I got to watch that event with my father, who's a golf nut. One of the nicest days I've had with my dad and my best bud there. Literally, we were jumping up and down, singing, hugging. It was one of the, in my mind, other than the Miracle 1980 hockey team, that was my second favorite memory in sports history right there. And it was really cool. Nicklaus, I think he shot 30 on the back nine, you know, birdied 60, 30, and he went nuts. And it was in doubt, you know, even when Seve hit it in the water, there were still players that could have caught him. Great drama. The thing I remember is everybody bought that big putter. All of a sudden you saw everybody had that foot-long putter that he was putting with that week. And to have his son on the bag and everything else, You know, I remember that I saved the Sports Illustrated cover of that for years and years. That was on my wall. You know, people were saying, ah, Jack, you wore that yellow shirt because it goes great with the green jacket, buddy. And you know, that was years after Jack's prime. He was 46 years old and he came back and no one ever thought Jack could do that. And I hadn't seen Jack Nicklaus win a tournament since the 70s on TV. So it was one of the finest days of my life, one of my best memories. And I'll always cherish that. And like I said, you got to watch it for the first time. You see how dramatic it really, really was.
You know, it's interesting. My first memory of watching the Masters was watching a Walrus win at my godfather's house in Rochester. I wasn't really into golf then. I'm like, oh, who is that guy? He's like, ah, it's Craig Stadler. This is the Masters. I'm like, oh, you know, what did I know? But that turned me on to starting to watch golf there. And I thought it was cool, a guy named the Walrus, right? You know, what an awesome nickname, right? We think of the Golden.
It really fit.
Yes. Yeah, it did fit him. Yes. Big hockey fan, by the way. Sometimes you see him and his son, Kevin, at the Avalanche games, right in the corner there, and they'll have some beverages stacked up. anyways, so I remember that, and then I remember Jack Nicklaus winning, of course, and then, you know, Faldo and, you know, his wins with Norman. And, yeah, I'd forgot about Norman being in contention again there in 86. With Nicklaus, you think about how many times Greg Norman probably should have won the Masters. I mean, it's just, it's remarkable. And if Norman had won the Masters just one time, I think our opinion of the Shark would be higher than it is, right? And it's pretty high. I mean, he was one of the icons of golf. But I think it would be even greater if he had just won one of those times.
I watched Greg Norman a lot. I actually got to watch him practice and hit balls down in Florida and stuff like that and watch his career. I was always a big fan. I didn't like his personality as much. Great, great driver of the golf ball, though.
Yeah.
Greg Norman, known for the chokes at Augusta. Like,
oh, yeah.
He was incredible player, great ball striker. But, boy, I mean, that's probably what everybody thinks of first when you think about him.
Yeah, 79. Yeah. Shot 79 in the final round when Faldo won that year.
Yeah.
That's a tough loss for anybody.
He had it in the bag. I mean, it was right. I mean, he had it in the bag. And he started thinking about it, right? I mean, the pressure, it got to him for sure. And listen, it happens to the best players. I mean, we saw it happen to Rory.
Spieth.
Right, Spieth.
12.
Spieth was out there.
Let's not forget Molinari last year, right? I mean, Molinari right, was right there with Tiger, and he rinses two of them. At 12 and at 15, and he's done. And frankly, he hasn't been the same since, you know, from that. He was one of the top players in the world. And, you know, I know he did great in the Ryder Cup. But that was after the Ryder Cup. I mean, he had been an unbelievable 8-month run.
The thought going into that final round was that Molinari was, I mean, like, if he just stays and plays his game, he was going to win because he was so unflappable through those last few majors and. As you mentioned, into the Ryder Cup, he was probably Europe's best player. Remember him and Fleetwood together? I mean, they just destroyed everybody from the U.S. And the fact that it got to him, Spieth is another player. I just thought because of his mentality, his relationship with his caddy, all that sort of stuff, like that would have never have occurred, how it played out the way it did. But it really shows these guys are nervous.
Yeah.
And, you know, even talking with some of the guys that were reflecting about the 86 broadcast or some of these other older events, saying how it was the most nervous they had ever been. I was reading an article this week, Charles Schwartzel, the year he won, he said the 18th tee shot, he said, was by far, he said, times a million, the most nervous he ever was hitting a golf shot. Because he said he knew, if I just hit this drive in the fairway, I can win the Masters. And he goes, that thought entered my head. And he said, it was crushing to me. The fact that, he goes, I'm so happy that I finished it. But, it, you know, it's in everybody's head, let's face it.
You know, the incredible thing, and then I want to ask you a question, Brian. You look at a guy like Schwartzel, Trevor Immelman, Danny Willett at this point right now. I mean, it just what it did for their careers, right? I mean, it just what an incredible achievement. Even the Walrus, Craig Stadler, frankly, you know, to have that victory there. Brian, how did I do on your trivia question? You put out a trivia question on the TD Green Twitter account on the guys who beat Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods beat the guys who finished second.
Yes.
I thought I had four or five.
You had, I think you had four. I think, okay. Yeah. There. So
I didn't have 97. I think 97 is the one I didn't have.
97 is the tough one because, I mean, he runs away, so there was no challenge from everybody. He won by 12. That was Tom Kite in 97. Oh,
I guessed Mark Brooks. I thought that was a good guess.
No, that was a good – but that was a good name from around that time, the late 90s. Yes. Yeah, it was Kite in 97. The other part of the trivia question is the runner-up to Tiger in 01 was Duval. That was Duval.
Okay.
Yep. Then Goosen you had. That was
I didn't have Goosen. I had Ernie Els. I thought Big Earn.
Then Goosen in 02 when Tiger went back-to-back. 05, it was DeMarco in the playoff. And then last year, a trio finished one shot back, Koepka, DJ, and Schauffele. So
it's a pretty good trio.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
that's a pretty good top four there. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Any one of those guys had won, you'd be like, wow, fabulous.
All deserving. Hey, before we go to break here, I know I've been eating like a champion because I've, got all this time to cook now at home. I've been grilling. It's been fun. The champion's dinner was supposed to be Tuesday night. Tiger Woods, of course, was the host. And he posted a picture of his own champion's dinner at his house. And he said that he had exactly what his menu would have been. And I want to give you the menu here. So, we're obviously all eating connoisseurs on the show here. Tiger celebrated at home. He said he had exactly what he would have planned. He had steak and chicken fajitas, sushi, cupcakes, and milkshakes. So,
all right. What do you think about that meal? Did he make them? That's my question.
Ooh, good question. I'm going to guess
he's got them. Personal chef, probably knowing Tiger, yeah.
Well,
but
it didn't look like a bad spot to be quarantined because listen, he's got a training center behind the house, right? A little short course.
Yes.
Imagine the house. There's plenty of room in the house, right? You got to think, right? Living, cook, maybe. Who knows?
He does. He's not living in 1,200 square feet, I'm thinking, somewhere over in Florida there, yeah.
No.
He's got plenty of room to be self-quarantined.
He's doing okay.
That's the gym.
All right, let's take a break here. When we come back, looking forward to this, Kevin getting a chance to catch up with PGA Tour player Ryan Armour, and then we'll be back with you here in just a little bit as we roll on Tee to Green with our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week and a little more here as we roll on. I'm Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Metis, Derek Kramer producing. Thanks for being with us. More Tee to Green and the Ryan Armour interview with Kevin coming up next right here on WGR.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to Wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Tantara Golf Club, Briarwood Country Club, and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're back on Tee to Green, and I am pleased to be joined now by PGA Tour player and PGA Tour winner Ryan Armour, who is in quarantine also, I think in a warmer place than Buffalo, in Florida, if I'm not correct. Right, Ryan?
Yeah, Jupiter, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good spot to be. Gives you a chance to perhaps work on your game. Are you able to work on your game in this quarantine?
So luckily I belong to do two different courses. One of them is closed due to COVID-19. Palm Beach County, where I reside, closed all golf courses, but one of the courses I belong is in Martin County, just over the border. The Dye Preserve is still open, so we're able to go out there. Practicing is a little difficult because, you know, they have mandated like stations on the range, so you can't sit there and like hog it while people want to warm up. But you can get out and walk, and I've tried to do that twice a week, get out and walk 18 holes.
Yeah, that's one of the things I think maybe people don't appreciate. Like, you know, here in Western New York, we have some courses open, private clubs. Some of them are open, no guests allowed, no range. It's walking. It's, you know, 20-minute tee times apart, which is great because this is bonus time for us anyways to be out and play. But not being able to have the range and to be able to do the work that you do as a PGA Tour player, that's significant. That matters, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think we're all, you know, I probably wouldn't be gearing up right now because not knowing when the season will start, you know, I'm not going to go in the grind mode. Everything right now, I think the majority of us just want to maintain health and maintain our games. We're not trying to really elevate them right now, just because we don't know, you know, our starting date. So, and I think we're all kind of goal driven, and we know the time it takes to kind of amp up to get ready to play.
You know, along those lines, the day that we're recording this, it's the day that a schedule came out with the majors being moved, and with the tour saying, okay, they'll try to fill in some dates when the majors were there, and they haven't canceled some events yet. But what does that mean to you to know, okay, if in the least we have August, that's the least we definitely know right now. What does that mean as far as your preparation?
It'll be slow prep if it's August, definitely. I mean, you know, that'll come a time when, like, I don't know if I need to go north to prepare, because down here in the summer it's brutally hot. So if I would have to go up to Ohio, where we sometimes go in the summer, and even if we're allowed to travel by then, that's another issue. Like, can we go across state lines and do all this stuff that we're so used to being able to move freely in this country that is really taking a back seat when we've had to get, you know. My teacher's up in Indiana now, and I don't even know if I can go up there and see him.
Yeah, that's...
So these are all just questions that I are so hard to answer from a golf standpoint, because, I mean, for me, I'm in my, you know, mid or early to mid-40s, and I'm more worried about my kids and wife at home. And I mean, I can sit here and exercise on a daily basis, and I can get to the course 3-4 days a week when I need to, and I mean, for right now, until we get that start date set, I don't think I'm going to amp up that practice session.
Yeah, that makes sense, too, especially, and listen, I'm a little older than you, so at our advanced age, there's only so many swings we have. I'm kidding.
That's correct. You can always do short game, though.
Yeah, there you go. The short game, there's not too much torque on the back and body there. You know, the interesting thing, you mentioned travel, and... Yeah, like, because I've had friends ask me, like, well, why don't they just play without fans? They can do that. I'm like, well, they can do that. The problem is the tour is made up of – it's a worldwide tour. There's players from all over the place, and I'm sure they want to make it equitable for the players who reside outside of the country to get back and play, because to compete for points and titles and all that goes along with it.
Yeah, you know, we're a worldwide tour now, and it wouldn't be fair for those people that are living overseas that, now, I don't know our quarantine rules, but I'm sure if you come from certain countries, you have to come to the United States and quarantine for 2 weeks, and you can't be out and about. So, I mean, you know, for us to throw a tournament together without fans, it's not as easy as the general public may think it is.
But provided, you know, we get quarantine and this thing slows down, are you confident that things could be played without fans? And you know, it could be done well without fans in attendance and with players, you guys distancing from each other, not using a locker room, all those things.
Could we do that? Yeah. I mean, I don't see why we couldn't. The problem you're probably going to run into though is like the training aspect of it, the physical therapy, and you're not going to really be social distancing if you're getting physical therapy. So, I'm not sure all of our logistics could line up with a social distancing platform that we have set foot at 6 feet. But, I mean, can you go play a round of golf? Yes. I don't know if you can play it to the world-class caliber that the PGA Tour is used to.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. And, you know, one of the things a couple of my colleagues on PGA Tour Radio and I have talked about is interviews, post-round interviews. Pre-round interviews.
Mm-hmm.
I got to think they're all going to be done at a podium through one microphone instead of having players go mic to mic. And, you know, I just think about that fuzzy mic I stick in your face after a round and then bring it right back to mine to close it out. Like, that practice is probably going to change, I would think.
You know, I don't know. I mean, that's something for, you know, people with a higher pay grade than me to figure out. I'm not a germaphobe. So I felt, I mean, in the tour's defense, I accept Jay's decision to not continue the Players' Championship. I think that was a very smart and cautious move that we had to make. But as a player, and I spoke to a lot of players after it, we didn't feel unsafe at the Players' Championship. And I don't know, maybe it's because we're secluded inside the ropes and we're not crowded into, you know, hospitality venues and everything. As a player, we felt perfectly fine on the golf course. And I think if it was just golf and we didn't have to do media and we didn't have to do physical training, we could probably go play tomorrow.
That's those are fair points for sure. And some of the media, you know, I think we could also present the events, you know, maybe a few adjustments along those lines and do it in a safe manner to highlight what you guys do. So hopefully we get to that point. I'm with you. I'm not really a germaphobe either.
I think, you know, not to cut you off, Kevin, I think everyone is chomping at the bit to try and kind of let's get a date set in stone so we can plan. And okay, there, you know, I was talking to one of my neighbors and I said nothing to do with golf. And the thing I think everyone in my neighborhood that I've talked to has struggled with is there's no end game. We don't have a, you know, that ray of sunshine at the end. And I think President Trump is trying to give us hope, but we just don't see like, okay, June 1, we're going to be fine. Okay, May 15th, we're going to be fine. You know, just give us something to cling to that as golfers, and now I'll equate that back to golf, just give us that date that we're going to start, and then we're going to start preparing to start that day.
Makes sense, for sure. So you can ramp up, set goals, which I'm sure you do every season going into it, setting goals.
Absolutely.
And what you're going to accomplish.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about something that you accomplished. One of the thrills for me is getting to announce a first-time winner's victory on the PGA Tour and the Sanderson Championship. And I was so thrilled for you, knowing the work that you put into your career. To get that first PGA Tour victory a few years ago in Jackson, Mississippi. But I was hoping you could maybe describe to our listeners all the work that went into finally achieving that goal of being a winner on the PGA Tour.
Well, I don't know where to start, really. I mean, I think as a kid who played multiple sports, you know, finally in high school, I kind of realized I was pretty good at golf, and you always dreamed of being on that stage where you could walk up 18 knowing you won. And there were a lot of ups and downs. I mean, I didn't get, you know, even Corn Ferry status until I was 4 years out of college. Then it took 3 more years to get the tour, and then I spent 5 more years off the tour playing the Corn Ferry, and then back on tour, and back off the Corn Ferry, and then back to the tour. And so there is a lot of, you know, you go through a lot of self-doubt period, but I'm sure, you know, everyone who runs their own business has self-doubt late at night, like, oh, it didn't go good this week. What am I doing? You know, as golfers who aren't, as I call, top 100 in the world all the time, we have a lot of self-doubt, and you got to overcome that self-doubt to accomplish your goals. And it's just funny how things work. I made a slight equipment adjustment in at Wyndham in the summer before the FedEx Cup. I made a slight adjustment to my irons, and I did not make the FedEx Cup that year, so I had to go to the Corn Ferry Tour Finals. I played in the final group of the first three Corn Ferry Tour Finals starting on Saturday, and I think I finished like 2nd, 20th, and like 25th or something. It doesn't matter. I retained my card, so started the year in Napa, and then I missed the cut there. I shot even par. Didn't feel like I played that bad. Just didn't hole any putts. And then just had a week off. I think it was a Ryder Cup year, or it might have been a President's Cup year. I'm not sure. I think it was a Ryder Cup year. So then the following week was Sanderson Farms. And you go to Sanderson Farms, and all of a sudden I have a tie. I'm either tied for the lead or have a solo lead all 3 days. And my caddy and I just looked at each other Sunday morning like, we're going to play the same way we played every day. If we have a good number, we're going to be aggressive. If we have a bad number, we're going to play conservative, but we're going to be aggressive to that conservative shot. And I was like, if I hit it in the fairway and I hit it on greens, a 5-shot lead is really hard to give up. And when I hold the putt on 17, walk over to Casey, he goes, all right, it's over. And Casey Kellogg was caddying for me at the time. And that was like really the first time all day I breathed. Like I gave a big, huge breath out, like a huge smile. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to do this. And to accomplish something that took so long, I mean, it's really rewarding and gratifying. And, you know, so many other people had a hand in it, not just myself. I mean, my wife stuck by me, always encouraged me to practice and play, and teachers and caddies and parents and brothers. And so a lot of it goes to them, but I mean, what a really special feeling it was to kind of tap in on 18, knowing you had won.
Yeah. Well, I was honored to be there for it and to talk to you after, because I could tell the emotion of, and just thinking about all that went into
Absolutely.
It. Was there a can you think back to a moment prior to that? You talked about, you know, trying to get the card on and off the Corn Ferry Tour. There was probably a conversation you and your wife had at some point, like, okay, you know what? Is it time to get a real job, so to speak, go into another industry? Did you ever have that conversation, or did you ever have that conversation where, like, you know what, we're going to take out a second mortgage or lean on the credit card because I know I can do this?
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I'm kind of a saver, so the financial aspect of it wasn't never an issue for me. Like, I wasn't bleeding money. I had made enough through my years on the PGA Tour and saving. I didn't have any outlandish expenditures. But just constant toll it took on your psyche to not accomplish what you set out to accomplish is really what my wife and I had to overcome. And she was a lot better at it than I was. 11 and 12, I played really bad. And I kind of went away from who I was. I was trying to get bigger and chase distance and just build swing speed and do it through, you know, transforming my body. And so in return, like 11, 12, and then 13, I had the worst season I've ever had since I turned pro. Like I didn't know where it was going. You know, nothing was right. My distances were off. Everything was terrible. So that's probably was the lowest of low. And my wife and I just, you know, sat down one night. I'm like, you know, I think I'm going to look into doing this. She's like, no, you're not. You put too much time into this. You work too hard. You're too good. I've seen you perform. Just go do what you do. And that's what I kind of hung to. Like, I'm not going to go out there and try and be someone I'm not. I'm not going to hit it 310 yards in the air. So as soon as I got away from trying to be someone I wasn't, I started to play a lot better golf.
And that person you are is driving accuracy. You're second in percentage on the PGA Tour right now in driving accuracy. Yeah. And, you know, that for all amateurs out there and those listening, playing from the fairway is so much of an advantage when you don't hit it so long than having to play from the rough, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. You know, if you have Rory's or DJ's legs and you drive it up there on a 450-yard par 4 to 140, 150, they're only hitting wedge or 9-iron. I get that. Out of the rough, they can control it. But when I only hit it, you know, 280 and I'm back there at 170, you know, hitting an 8 or 7-iron out of the rough, I can't control it as much. So it's important that I get that 280-yard drive in the fairway so then I can attack hole locations the way those guys can attack them, even if they spray it offline.
Let's talk about what's going on this season. It hasn't been a great start for you here in 2020. So
maybe this pause is
a good pause now in the season for you.
I looked on it. I my body was a little banged up, so this is actually giving me some time to heal without having to play through it. I had a little bit of grip issues going on. My grip got really weak over the winter. I don't know how. Just kind of crept in there and forgot to look at it. Teacher didn't quite catch it. I didn't catch it. And then we caught it in L.A. And as many of your viewers know, changing the grip is probably one of the hardest things to do in golf. So we're just trying to get that grip a little stronger to get it back to the way it was when I was kind of flushing it, you know, and hitting a lot of fairways, hitting a lot of greens, giving myself a lot of birdie opportunities. And other than that, we're just trying to stay healthy through this whole COVID break. And as soon as we amp up a little, it'll give me time to, you know, really ingrain that the grip changes, you know, for a month or so before we start the season again.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that the grip thing. I go through that every year. Like I get to the mid summer.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and it just creeps weak, and I'm like, man, what happened here? I used to see the three knuckles. Now I'm down to one. How'd that creep in there? You know,
right?
Weird.
And this is really the first time in my career it's ever happened. I don't know if we were working on something in the winter over break before Hawaii, and then you get to Hawaii and we just had torrential winds in Hawaii. I don't know if you get that week. It's sunny.
Yeah, no, I wasn't there, but I knew the winds were up.
I mean, it was brutal. It was brutal over. So it might have been, you know, I got so lean and left that the grip got weak in those winds that we just really didn't catch it until my teacher flew out to LA after I left AT&T Pebble. And I just kind of was giving him, the bits about like, hey, what the heck is going on? I just left my favorite golf course on tour, not happy. And I've never left here unhappy. So we got to fix this immediately.
Well, I think people are happy to hear that some common things that amateurs struggle with, pros struggle with sometimes too. Before we start the interview, you mentioned like this is kind of a blessing in disguise for you and your family and to spend more time together.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, my wife, actually what's funny is right when I got back from Sawgrass, so I got back Friday morning from Sawgrass after Commissioner canceled on Thursday night. On Saturday, we called and ordered my wife golf clubs for the first time in our life. So now she's been trying to get out and walk 9 holes a couple days a week with me, which has been something we've never done. I mean, so we're getting to spend time together doing that. The kids will come out and goof around and we've been rollerblading and biking and just trying to get outside as a family as much as we can, because really that's all we can hang with right now is our family.
And I enjoyed your tweet, I think it was maybe a week or so ago, about being a teacher and homeschooling.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I give all the teachers a lot of credit because the patience they must have to deal with, you know, 25 at a time, and I'm only dealing with two, must be immense, because I wasn't blessed with that patience to deal with it. And I got to, you know, especially the school my kids go to, they've done such a good job of trying to coordinate this online learning that, I mean, I don't know how many hours had to have gone into it over the 2 week break that we had while they tried to get this up and running. I know I couldn't do it as technologically illiterate as I am.
Yeah, thankfully my wife's a teacher, because I started trying to help out my 10-year-old, and he's like, get mom in here. You don't know what you're doing. You're right, I don't. Well, Ryan,
yeah, we're kind of breaking it down in subjects. Like, I take English, reading, and math, and she takes all the science kind of stuff, and then she takes like science, art, and music. And we kind of break it down that way, because that's kind of her specialty. She was a nurse, so she knows all the science aspects of everything.
Yeah, see, it's good to have you. I can handle the English part, but yeah, when it comes to the mathematics and science, I pass that off to my wife for sure. Ryan,
my kids are only 11 and 8. My kids are only 11 and 8, so I can handle their math right now. They were a little older. I don't know if I could.
Well, be careful with the long division. The long division changes. They call it a Common Core in New York State.
I know.
I used to get in arguments with my older son about it, and I'm like, okay, you do it the way they tell you. I'm just trying to show you the way real people do it. but I was wrong. Listen, I appreciate your time today, and I wish
Absolutely.
You and your family the best of health, and I look forward to seeing you out there when we get back out on the golf course.
Yeah, you guys too, Kev. Anytime. Good luck.
More from Brian, Kevin, and Jeff as they close out the show. Next segment here, you're listening to Tee to Green right here on WGR.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Tantara Golf Club, Briarwood Country Club, and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up.
Back on Tee to Green, Kevin Sylvester, Brian Koziol, Jeff Midas. I want to thank our friends at Scroy Financial, and in these interesting financial times, we thank them for their support of the Tee to Green radio show, and want to mention, if you have questions about your financial health and your portfolio, give our friends at Scroy Financial a call, 674-6700. They've been family-owned and operated and helping people in Western New York reach their financial goals since 1971. Learn more at scroyfinancial.com. It's spelled S-G-R-O-I financial.com. Also, we normally have a majors contest this weekend from our friends at Batavia Downs and the Jumpa Agency, Allstate Agency. So we thank them for their support here. And I want to thank State, Brian, for not supporting golf.
That's right. Yeah, we have received news that revised orders from the governor's office as of Thursday when we are recording this. Now golf has been temporarily taken away as the governor has declared golf courses non-essential business. We know obviously a lot of golf courses were open in Western New York. People were enjoying maybe getting their respite away from their home quarantine through following social distancing. But now, an official revised order from the governor's office. Again, this is as of our recording day here, that golf courses are deemed to be non-essential business, Jeff. Obviously, all of us personally and anybody listening that likes to play or has decided to play, this is a tough blow, because it was a nice respite from being maybe at your house. But Jeff, what does this firstly mean for the golf courses themselves?
You know, this is a body blow. You know, this whole thing's been a body blow for everybody. It's been a late start, a slow start. You think of all the industries involved that support golf courses, from the turf and the grass and the vendors who sell us the golf clubs and the staff. All that is just, there's no revenue now. And that's just another blow for all the people in our industry. You know, I think of my daughter who works in the bag room. She can't work. I think of the kids in the kitchen. They can't work. It's going to be very, very tough. I'm surprised that it came down. There must have been some flagrant violations somewhere, and someone's alarms cackles got up somewhere, and people didn't follow the for the greater good. I don't know what happened here. It's a very, very difficult for our industry and tough for everybody sitting at home. It was a nice idea to be able to go out and actually take a walk in the park and be with some friends, even with social distance things.
Brian, I was told earlier in the week that this was a possibility because of what happened in another part of our state. I'm not going to say what part of our state, because it may have happened here too in Western New York. I don't know. And I had people tweeting me that another different part of the state than one I knew, that sheriffs were stopping at places to warn people about distancing on golf courses. But listen, I'm not surprised because of what I was told about earlier in the week. And let's face it, we know people who cheat at golf. So why the hell would they not follow the rules, right? It's pretty damn simple to follow. And it was a treat that it was deemed okay to play. It was, with the weather being nice, it was bonus time anyways. It was nice to get out, just play, get away from this stuff, especially those of us who are off from work. And like anything, it's a few bad apples ruin the whole bunch. And that's what occurred here. And it's unfortunate for, there's golf course operators, the public golf course operators, more so than the country clubs, because they don't have a monthly revenue line for dues. And those public courses, some were fixing to aim up April 15th. Fox Valley's going public this year. They're looking to open April 15th. Other ones were too. Now it's not going to happen.
All the league money and all that money that would be coming in for a public facility right now.
Yeah.
It's a cash flow cycle. It's going to be tough for the owners.
And let's be honest, like, it wasn't essential to people's survival, right? It wasn't. But it's the same as going to a park, right? It's an escape. You can take your family on a hike. Why is going to play golf different? To me, it's not, as long as you follow the social distancing rules again, which were pretty damn simple to follow. And I'm not angry that the governor shut it down. I'm angry that it had to be shut down because of the behavior of golfers.
Yeah, I mean, if you follow the rules, you probably are farther away at a golf course than you would be at any park. I mean, we've seen scenes from parks here in Western New York, Delaware Park, Chestnut Ridge Park, where it's packed, and you're like, geez, these people are, on top of each other almost. On a golf course, you could be 400 yards away from the next group in front of you, 500 yards away from the next group in front of you. And if you're walking, which, we encouraged everybody to do so, it would have been a real easy thing to do to keep everything going. I know that, we were supposed to do our show this week at Tanterra, and, Don Schneider, the PGA pro there, I know, they're going to find out more information about this, but, when and if golf does come back here shortly, he's got a great promotion going on, spring into spring, an all-inclusive membership, and you can contact him over at Tanterra. But I know we're all disappointed that we can't be doing our shows at all these courses every week, Jeff, and now to not have golf on, it stinks.
Yeah, so, hunker down, and watch the Masters this weekend. That's going to be your only option, it looks like.
That's right. Yeah, just to finish here on a positive note, you want to maybe feel good about golf. CBS this weekend, today on Saturday, has the final round of Phil Mickelson's first Masters win. And then on Sunday, it's a rerun of last year, the 2019 version of the Masters, where Tiger wins his 15th major. All right, that puts a wrap on our show this week. Kevin and Jeff, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
All right, guys.
All right,
Easter.
All right. Thanks to Derek Kramer. Yeah, same to everybody out there. Thanks to Derek Kramer for producing. For PGA Pro Jeff Mitis, Kevin Sylvester, I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for being with us here on Tee to Green. We'll talk to you next Saturday right here on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.